So firstly, I thought we could read something about the particular ekadasi that we're observing, because this is as far as the rules go, we want to follow the regulations. And it explains that we should hear about the glories of the ekadasi if you didn't hear already. And simply the hearing process itself is purifying. We learn many things. So this ekadasi that falls in Shukla, Vaishak Shukla Ekadasi, is Vaishak month. This is one of the three most auspicious months of the year. Magh Mas, which is January, February, and this Vaishak month, which is April, May, and then October, November is Kartik. These shastras abound with the glories of these months and how much benefit one gets by observing particular religious activities, dan, giving charity and prikama and tapasya and all these things. Of course, they bear result at any time, but some or other there's added benefit when one performs religious activities in these 3 months. That's why people gather by the millions at Kumbh Mela, in Ujjain, Hardwar, Nasik, and Allahabad during the Kumbh Melas to take a holy bath in Triveni, at least in the Allahabad. Every day of ours is auspicious because this is the characteristic of bhakti, shubhada. It gives auspiciousness, and the more we do bhakti, the more our life becomes auspicious. Every day we become more and more, our lives become more and more auspicious, beneficial to us, beneficial to others. We become a blessing to others. We become happy, and people become happy to see us. These are some of the meanings of shubhada. Shubhada, that which gives shubha. On these months, even we that are trying our best to serve Krishna, we can always do more, we can increase. We have Kartik Brata, which some of us come to know about. In the West, you never hear in Moscow. If you never came to Vrindavan, you probably never would have heard of Kartik Brata. I never heard about it until I came to India. And so we came to know about Kartik Brata. Now you know there's such a thing as Magh Mas Brata. There's also Vaishak Mas Brata. So then pretty soon you say, wait a minute, every day is a brat. But fortunately, it's not every day is a brat. Only 90 days, only 25% of the year is a brat.
This year we have additional.
Yeah, now it's Panch Masya.
Yeah.
Instead of Chaturmasya, there's Panch Masya. But at least the blessing is, or the good sign is, that this year we got a 1 month break. Last time when there was Panchamasya, it was all together. It was right in the middle of Chaturmasya. It was Panchamasya, 5 months full speed. This year it's like 1 month, 1 month austerity, then one month yag, 1 month bhog. And then 4 months. So you get a 1 month vacation. Next month we're really austere, and then oh, I got so skinny. And then, oh no, but 4 months I have to fast, I better eat lots of in this month. Now that Purushottam's over, I better really eat, like really eat, because I have to go now 4 months. No salt or no grains or whatever your breath may be. Of course, that's not the real emphasis in the line of bhakti. It's not this physical stuff, it's the metaphysical things that count. It's this psychic transformation and heart transformation, which is the result of limbs of bhakti, which can include eating sufficiently Krishna prasadam, but hearing and chanting, remembering Krishna. So once long ago, this narration comes from the Surya Puran. Maharaj Yudhisthira asked Lord Krishna, O Janardhan, what's the name of this ekadasi in Shukla Vaishak, and what is the punyafal, or the merit, that one attains by following this ekadasi? Please tell me the details. And he said, O Dharmaputra, son of Dharma, Krishna replied, hear attentively as I describe the story that the sage Vasishtha once told Ramachandra. So that means in Treta Yuga. This story was narrated 3 million years ago in Treta Yuga by Vasishtha Muni, the guru of Ramachandra, to Ramachandra. Or rather, the story was told, but then Ram asked a question. Oh, respected sage, I'm feeling very much distressed due to separation from Sita. So the background of this is that this is during the kidnapping time. They were wandering the forest, Panchavati, for 14 years, and then I think around the last year they were there in the forest, almost the last year, Ravana kidnapped Sita, as you know. It's interesting with dress as a sannyasi. Sannyasis are kidnapping wives. Watch out. But since I'm not wearing my uttari, I'm not actually a sannyasi. So, and we add, and Lord Chaitanya taught us that, right? He says, Naham vipro nacha narpradira vaishina shudra. Naham varni nacha grihapadam. Vanastoya tirabhakintu prodhyanikala paramananda purnavita there. Everyone knows the last line. Gopi Bhartu. Everyone knows about the gopis. Gopi Bhartu, padakamalyar. Das, das, son of das. Everyone can say it, but no one can actually feel it. Who can actually feel it? Who can actually reel it? Feel it and reel it. Reel it means really do it and really act that way. Das, das, das. It's called Dasi Bhav, Kinkari Bhav, Dasi Bhav. To have that genuine mood of a selfless slave. Selfless. Even slaves have motive, which is interesting. You may be a slave of some master, but you have motive. You have motive, you have some desire. I'm slaving for him, but and I'm doing whatever he says, but I'm getting something. I'm calculating. I'm going to get some food, I'm going to get some clothes, I'm going to get some pay, I'm going to get something. But this slavery of the gopis, which is the epitome of perfection in terms of devotional service, is selfless slavery. Slavery to the utmost. There's no self, the self is forgotten. They don't even know, they can't find their self. In Ramayana, we hear about the demons. They get these great powers. They can put their life point. That's the term they use in translation. A life point. They can keep their life point somewhere else, not in their body. So when Ram would cut off a head, ordinarily people's life point is in their body. So if you cut off the head, then the body, they die. So his life point was kept in three different places. It was kept in a lotus flower. It was kept in some mountain, some other place. So every time he cut his head off, he wouldn't die. Another head would sprout out. So then you have to find out where they keep the life point and then destroy that. Destroy the lotus flower, destroy the tree or the mountaintop or whatever. It's extraordinary. We read about these things and say, what? Yeah. The body's here, the life point is somewhere else. So the gopis were like that. Their life point was somewhere else. They were not selfish because they had no self. They lost their selves. There was no self. Self is your atma. Self is your life point. That's you. The point of life, the point of existence is the Atma. And they didn't have it. Where was it? It was with Krishna. He's Manohar. He stole them. Man means life also. Chittahara, Manohar. He stole their life point and locked it in his heart. And they said, we can't move from here. You call us with your flute, we're dancing like puppets, we can't take a step from you. Because the body can't move without the soul. Does a dead body move? No. The soul is the animating principle of the body. So the gopi said, you called us here, and now you're saying go home. We can't take a step from you. Our life point is with you. If you don't give us our life point back, we can't move. So this is really selfless. They couldn't find themselves. And whenever they would think about themselves or think about, they would never think about themselves. But when they think about Krishna and separation, their self, the only self they could identify with was Krishna's self. They became tanmoya, atma tanmoya with Krishna. And they even said to each other, I am Krishna. You rascal Kaliya, get out from here. You polluted the amount of water and the poison of birds and the cows and animals. You get out, I'm coming to vanquish demons like you. So they would actually fully identify that I am Krishna. And then the other one said, I am Krishna, you're Putana, you know. So no devotee, no gopi can become Putana. No gopi can become a demon, but so Yogamaya would actually enter into that gopi and she would become, and the gopi could never become. That's explained in Sartha Darshani. So Sita, Janaki Sutta, Sita Devi was kidnapped and he was feeling great viraha bhav. And he asked the Vasishtha Muni, he said, oh Guruji, is there some vow that I can perform to mitigate, that will mitigate all one's sinful reactions and distresses? Because in his Nara Leela, Bhagavan Ram was acting like a human being, normal king, lamenting over the separation of his prince or his queen, and he was also understanding, according to the laws of karma, that one suffers distress or physical disability or disease due to karma, bad karma, papa fall. If he has mind problems, mental problems, or bad dreams, so many psychic karma affects the psyche, not only the body. So to have a peaceful mind and a pure mind and happy dreams and flowers and friends and books and bookends, this means you have good karma. You don't have, or as they say in India, good karma. They don't like A's. A's are not preferred over here. It's Arjun, not Arjuna. It's Dharma, not Dharma. It's Karma, not Karma. And as soon as you leave India, it's Karma. Everywhere, every country in the world, it's Karma. But India is Karma. I'm doing my Karma. And then you leave India, it's Dharma. But in India, it's Dharma. And you leave and you go out of India, everywhere is Arjuna. So when you come to India, then all the Indians, they pick on me. Maharaj, you don't know how to say that. You don't know how to pronounce our language. I said, okay, you're 1 billion people, but there's 4 billion people that say karma, karma. The majority of the world, which is 4 billion people, you're 1/4. But it's very difficult to exist over here. So Vasishtha Muni, who is a spiritual master, said, my dear Ram, your intelligence is sharp and mixed with faith. Moreover, your question is beneficial for the entire humanity. Just by chanting and remembering your all auspicious holy names, all living entities can become purified and eligible to achieve auspiciousness. Still, for the benefit of ordinary people, I will describe to you about a great vow. That's very interesting. Vasishtha Muni is basically saying, okay, you're acting like an ordinary person. You're playing your Nara Leela wrong. You're asking a question about, how can I mitigate my sins? How can I mitigate my distress? Because my wife has been stolen, so I'm in distress. So this distress must be caused by my bad karma and by my sins. So is there some vow or some tapa I can do to alleviate that in terms of Dharma Shastra, in terms of Prayashchitta? Punya fall cancels papa. Punya karma cancels papa karma. There's a whole law of balancing, karma balancing. They have aura balancing, balancing your auras. These psychics and mediums, they balance people's auras by laying on their hands or going into trance or whatever they do. So there's karma. So Ramachandra is trying to do karma balancing. He's trying to karma balance here. And then Vasishtha says, hey, wait a minute, come on. You can't fool me. Your Bhagavan Ram, simply one of your names, is equal to 1,000 names of Vishnu. And if you want auspiciousness, you want freedom from all karma, you want freedom from all distress, you want perfect mukti, all you have to do is chant Ram, your name once. So what is this game you're trying to play? That, oh, I'm in distress, and can you mitigate my sorrow? And so first, to establish the record straight, he's saying, okay, listen, I know and you know that just by remembering, by not even saying remembering your holy name, all living entities become purified, get all auspiciousness, and freedom from distress. But anyway, for the benefit of those other people, ordinary people, I'll describe to you a great vow. O Ram, the Ekadasi that occurs during the Shukla Paksha and Vaishak is known as Mohini, is very auspicious, as if this Ekadasi can be anywhere near as auspicious as Ram's name. In other words, it can't be. By following this Ekadasi, all one's sinful reactions, material miseries, and a network of illusion are destroyed. Now, please hear attentively, I narrate the most pious topics of this Ekadasi. Once upon a time. It's one of those, once upon a time. So now there's places, and there's people, and there's problems, and there's solutions. Right? And all, here we go. Now what's the place? It's a beautiful city. Manhattan! No, sorry, it's called Bhadravati. Interesting. Bhadra means it's an auspicious place. It was situated in the bank of the sacred Saraswati River and ruled by a kingdom named Dyutiman. This king was born in Chandravamsha. He was tolerant and truthful, pious, prosperous devotee of Lord Vishnu. Oh, excuse me. So that's the king of that region. Now, in his kingdom, there was a pious Vaishya named Vishnu Bhakta and Vaishya, who is Dhanapal. Dhanapal means he's a protector of dhan or charity. He's very virtuous, charitable. He lived there. He benefited people. To benefit people, he engaged in 12 types of pious activities. These are the basic punya karma. This isn't bhakti and mukhi sukriti, but this is sukriti. Bhakti unmukhi sukriti is that type of good activity or good deed which turns your face towards the devotees and the Vaishnavas and turns your face towards Krishna. The reward of doing those activities is that you get sadhu sangha. When you get sadhu sangha, you hear harikata. When you hear harikata, you become attracted to Krishna and detached from illusion. You become enlightened, become purified, illuminated with knowledge, become joyful, become peaceful, and your senses become satisfied. And ultimately you follow the path of religion and perfect your life and go back to Godhead. So this is a result of giving donations to Vaishnavas, building temples, tirtha, darshan of holy places, tirtha snan, giving spiritual books in charity, and giving spiritual food, mahaprasadam, in charity. These are all spiritual activities. Now this is a list of material activities which most people are more keen on. At least they used to be. Now people don't do any of these things. Well, there's 12 of them. One of them is building a dharmashala. Now people, they make a trust and they build a dharmashala and make money. Balaji guest house. When it first opened, it was 30 rupees a night. It's right down near ISKCON. It's down the road. There's a Sitaram temple there on the right hand side. First temple you see, right behind is Balaji guest house. Action shoes. That's a write-off for their black money. So they made a trust. It was 30 rupees a night. Now it's 300. And when I went there, I said, I had some friends there staying there a few years ago. I said, why is it so cheap? And he said, this is charitable trust. That's just the maintenance fee for electricity. And then about 3 months later, it went up to 100. But in the old days, you can still see in Haridwar and Rishikesh, you can go there and get free rooms and free food still. Rich people build dharma, set up a trust, build a dharmashala and maintain it. And then they would build schools, so dharmashala, vidyalaya. They would build temples, mandirs, usually to demigods. Build hospitals, and they would build marketplaces. They would establish a place. Marketplaces means a place where people could come and sell their goods. You see the sabjiwalas, they come with little, and they set on the ground their stuff. And then they go away. Well, a marketplace means you make a roofed area with stalls, and people can come in the morning and sell. Anybody can come, and no fixed shops. It's like this, because malis, vaishyas are one class of people, but malis and flower people and gardeners, they're another class, and they don't own property. Vaishyas own property and own dukans. So these vaishyas would build marketplaces, because the vaishyas are doing this actually. They're building a marketplace. It doesn't mean a vegetable store, grocery store. They would build a marketplace and for the people to pick, to grow a little garden and pick some things. And anybody, no one owns that shop. They can come, like you see in the sabji market in Vrindavan. And they would make footpaths for people. They would make wide and comfortable roads that would be above the flood level for people to walk. They would dig wells for people to drink water, village wells. And they would dig ponds, lakes for swimming and washing clothes. And they would make pani pials, water distribution units where people can get fresh water, nowadays ice water. And they would set up anashetras, fixed places where grains were regularly distributed free every day, food for life. And then they would set up, they would establish flower gardens and fruit gardens. These are the 12 things. Full bagicha and fall bagicha. Flower gardens, these would be they would just buy a big area of land near the village, and the Mali, they would hire Malis to grow flowers there, and anybody had deities could come pick flowers there. Because the temples themselves would have their own bagichas, Bhangi Bihari's bagicha, etc., which they still have today. Rangaji has huge gardens for the deities, and vegetables, everything. That's their own endowment, but this would be for. And then they would have fruit gardens. They would buy a big 50 acres, and they would buy all, have fruits all maintained in there, and those fruits will be given to the people. This is the old days. And now, these days, no money talks. So he did all these good things. And another thing, which is not listed here, but they would have, there's a name for it, but I can't think of it. They would buy land outside, kings especially would do, because they had so much money, kings or vaishyas, they would buy land for cow grazing, community cow grazing. And all the villages around Braj was like that. Every little village, Radhakund's a very small village, especially 300 years ago. And the Bharatpur king at that time, he bought 100 acres, right beyond me, 100 acres of property, which is quite large. And that was only for community goat pasturing. Because Brahmins traditionally, you know, the traditional Indian house, there's a square, and open center is open for Vastu. And on four sides, there's rooms on four sides. So the front rooms are office and men's house. Then you go in, that's the front one side, then you go into two sides. On the two sides, that would be some storage rooms for grains and whatnot, and a cow room for a cow, little goshawl right in the house. Then the back, so that's on two lines, and the back line would be where the women and wife would stay. Or if you had two stories on the first floor, people would stay there, and the ground floor would be more cows and more business type things. And the first floor would be the quarters. So the cow, there's no pasture in there. They would feed them whole grains there and give them water. Then they would hire some old guy, retired guy, as you see even today. And he would go around and collect 100 cows, like a babysitter, a cow sitter. He would collect 100 cows, and he would take them out to the 100 acres. It's called free pasture, some name for that in Hindi, I don't know what they call it. Free pasture. And then they would eat all the grass and wander around, get sunshine and exercise, and there'd be some water trough and lake there to bathe in and wash up and before they go home. And then the cows would go home, and then they get milked and go to sleep and get a little more, some grains and flour and things. It's beautiful culture. But then because greed, lust and greed come into people's hearts because there's no preaching, then someone becomes one of the members of the panchayat. He was a Brahmin. And he's a so-called Brahmin. And he's very clever, being Brahmin. So he figured out, he took that 100 acres and put it in his name. And sold it all. Now it's called Radha Colony and other colonies. A very interesting trick. Kick out all the cows and call it Radha Colony. And it's like, that's the one grain of rice from the pot. But it's the same. Rice, everywhere is the same activity, every village. But you could understand how beautiful it was at one time. Whole Indian culture was something extraordinary. So this pious devotee, he was always peaceful. In this way, he properly utilized his wealth for the benefit of all. And thus he successfully demonstrated the true meaning of his name, Dhanapal, one who upholds charity or protects charity. This pious devotee of Vishnu was always peaceful, a benefactor of others, engaged in devotional service to Vishnu. We had five sons, Saman, Dutiman, Medavi, Sukriti, and Dristabuddhi. His son, Dristabuddhi, was most sinful. He was extremely wicked, ill-natured, always engaged in bad association, having illicit connection with unchaste women. He was fond of gambling and drinking wine. He took pleasure in killing and torturing other living entities. He was like fully engaged in the wrong things. In this way, engaged in all kinds of sinful activities and soon turned into an abominable son of a most pious father. And he was a disgrace to the family. He never showed respect to demigods, guests, old forefathers, and Brahmins. Constantly thinking of committing sinful activities, he lived a contemptible life. The sinful wretch, Dristabuddhi, misused all his father's wealth in many useless activities. He ate abominable foodstuffs, always drank wine, and seeing his shameless son walking in public place with his hand on the shoulder of a prostitute, Dhanapal became extremely hurt. On that very day, he threw out his spoiled son from the house. Dristabuddhi became bereft of everyone's affection, including his father, mother, brothers, relatives, and friends. He was degraded from his position in caste society, and the pious community became an object of hatred for everyone. After being thrown out from his father's house, Dristabuddhi continued sinful propensities with the money received by selling his personal clothes and ornaments. Soon that came to an end. Gradually, due to lack of sufficient food, his body became weak and skinny. On realizing he had become poor, his so-called deceitful friends left him. Condemning him on various pretexts. Drishtabuddhi was now full of anxiety. He had no food and no clothes. Was extremely afflicted with hunger. So he began to contemplate, what should I do now? Where should I go? By which means shall I survive? After contemplating this way, he decided there was no other alternative than to start stealing for his survival. With a desire to steal, he began to wander throughout the city. Sometimes the king's guards would arrest him, and after considering his father's greatness, they would release him. After being caught and released many times, he was again formally arrested for committing a special kind of theft, which they don't tell you. You can only imagine. He was then taken to the king and awarded severe punishment. The king said, "Oh, sinful, foolish creature, you cannot stay within this kingdom anymore, for you're the greatest of sinners. I'm releasing you for now, but leave this kingdom immediately and go wherever you wish." Drishtabuddhi, afraid of being punished again, left the kingdom. He went far away and entered a dense jungle. He became so afflicted with hunger and thirst, he killed birds and beasts and indiscriminately ate their raw flesh. He wandered for many years through the forest, hunting with bow and arrows in his hands and killing innocent animals and engaging in sinful activities. Drishtabuddhi was always miserable and anxious, but one day, due to some past pious deeds, he arrived at the sacred ashram of the great sage and yogi ascetic, Kondinya. It was Vaishak Mas, and the great sage was returning home after taking a bath in the Ganga. At that time, by the will of providence, Drishtabuddhi, who was very aggrieved by distress and lamentation, happened to touch a drop of water falling from the sage's cloth. See, there's so much power. A drop of water just goes off your jata, and it hits you. Then, so it's good to hang around the Jamuna when all the big devotees are bathing. Bathe close, all you ladies should bathe close to some sages. not too close. You may curse you to become a frog. Hey, what are you doing? You're stinking woman, you become a frog. You play next to me in the water, you become a frog. But if you can somehow not get too close, and then he goes like, choo, and his hair, choo, and some drop falls on you, then you can be blessed. Drishtabuddhi was immediately relieved of his sinful reactions by a drop of water from the jata of the Kondinya Rishi. With folded hands and great humility, said to Kondinya, "O great Brahman, I am the most sinful person. There is no sin I have not committed. Please instruct me about a topmost type of prayaschit, which a most wretched person like me can easily perform. As a result of committing unlimited sinful activities till now, I have been bereft of my house, wealth, relatives, and friends. I am drowning in an ocean of mental agony." Hearing Drishtabuddhi, the great sage, feeling distress by seeing another's distress, said, "I am telling you a sublime method by which all your sinful reactions can be easily nullified in a very short time. Please hear attentively. Mohini Ekadasi comes and Shukla Vaishak totally destroys a mountain of sinful reactions. A mountain as big as Mount Sumeru, accumulated from many, many lifetimes. You should faithfully observe this Ekadasi." Hearing these words from the great sage, Drishtabuddhi became joyful and properly observed that Ekadasi according to the rules and regulations instructed by the sage. By observing this Mohini Ekadasi, the most sinful Drishtabuddhi soon became devoid of sinful reactions and assumed a divine body, returned to Vaikuntha on the back of Garud. They say Garud also. And outside of India, everyone says Garuda. In India, they say Garud. Garud Govind temple. Garud Govind. Govind, not Govinda. There's no Govinda, it's Govind. A is just out. No A. And Krishna, and that means what's going on? Because Krishna says in Gita, among letters, I'm the letter A. And all the Indians don't want to get rid of this A. They don't want any A's. No Krishna. It appears that way also. Oh Ramchandra, this vow certainly removes all kinds of illusion and the darkness of ignorance. Any piety accumulated by taking bath in holy waters, giving charity and performing yajna cannot be compared with the piety one obtains by observing Mohini Ekadasi Ki Jai. The other interesting point about this Ekadasi is that it's not Ekadasi. How do you like that? It's actually Dwadasi. Ekadasi was yesterday. And practically all of India observed Mohini Ekadasi yesterday. Nimbarkis, Vallabhacharyas, etc. Vaishnavas and Smartas. They observed the same day yesterday. Even the Hindi calendar, if you had a Hindi Panchang, you wouldn't know anything. Usually they tell you there's 2 days. But the Hindi Panchang said yesterday, not anything today. But our Gaudiya Vaishnav calculation is slightly different. It's something to do with overlapping of tithis. And this is coming from very deep study of the Shastras by Sanatana Goswami and others who were empowered by God Himself. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Sanatana Goswami to compile the Hari Bhakti Vilas. And so he did. And in that book it describes the details of how we're to observe various pratas. So we don't follow Vallabhacharya or Nimbark. We follow Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Yeah.
And Sanatana Goswami. So they go their way and we go our way. They go to Vaikuntha and we go to Braja Gokul. Of course, Nimbarkas also go to Vrindavan. But they're, even their Vrindavan is different than ours. So there are something called Mahadwadasi. And these are six or so in a year. And they're very, 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 there's Vamana Mahadwadasi. You must have heard of that. Vamana Mahadwadasi. And I can't remember some of the other ones. But this particular one is called Unmilani. Unmilani Mahadwadasi. This is mentioned in the Radhakund calendar, which the devotees here follow. They mention actually the name. Because it's described, Vaishnava Si Maharaj Bhaktya Bhagavatam Nrinam Vaishnavam Yanmahaguyam Tadvratam Tvam Nisham Maya. O exalted king, you have certainly made great advancement in devotional service. This is sage Gotama. I'm not sure who he's speaking to. But he's telling here, Gotam Rishi. But please hear about me the most confidential Vaishnava vows. Mahaguyam. Guyam means Gupta, secret. Vaishnava Mahaguya Vratam. So this is the most confidential of all different vows. Unmilani Nama Pura Mama Bhaktya Tu Vishnuna Katita Supasenena Tante Bhupa Badamyaham. I will tell you about the vow of Unmilani Mahadwadasi, which Vishnu explained to me long ago, being pleased by my bhakti. Sampurna Ekadashi Pratar Dwityeni Pravardate Unmilaniti Saprokta Papa Pankoga Nashini. If an Ekadasi, after completing its 64 dandas, 64 dandas means in a day there's 60 dandas. Dandas is 24 minute period. Even Krishna's leelas are broken down into dandas. Doesn't mean like sannyasi danda. If an Ekadasi, after completing its 64 dandas, overlaps the next day, it's called Unmilani Milan. Milan means meeting. One meeting. Unmilani Milani Mahadwadasi, which nullifies sinful reactions. Then it has never been heard. Have you ever heard about this? It has never been heard or seen by me that all the holy places and sacred rivers within the three worlds, Purvavaswa, as well as all kinds of yajnas and sacrifices, the Vedas and every type of austerity, are equal to even 1/10 millionth part of Unmilani Mahadwadasi.
Yeah.
So try to calculate that. How much powerful. This is what Vishnu explained to Gautama Muni. He's saying this Mahadvarasi is none of all these things, all the holy places in the universe, all the sacred rivers, all the yagyas, all the Vedas, all kinds of austerities, that all that stuff put together doesn't equal 1/10,000,000th part of a Mahadvarasi. So try to stay awake. Because we wouldn't want to miss this one. But this is a once-in-a-lifetime program. Now let's listen to what... This is neti-neti. In other words, all these holy places are not equal to Unmilini Mahadvarasi. Prayag, Kurukshetra, Kashi, Pushkar, Reva, Saraswati, Kalindi, Mathura, Pindaraka, Prabhasa, Hatakeshava, Himachal Mountain, Meru, Gandamarana, Malaya, Vindhya, Naishada, Godavari, Kavari, Chandrabhaga, Devika, Tapi, Payoshni, Shipra, Chandana, Charmanvati, Sarayu, Gandaki, Gomati, Vipasha, Shona, Mahanad. These are all sacred rivers. And some holy places thrown in too. They're not equal to Unmilini Mahadvarasi. What's the use of telling you all these things again and again? You're just sleeping. Just as there is no one superior to Lord Keshava, there is nothing superior to Unmilini Mahadvarasi! Anivo! Unmilini Manu Prapya Yaikritam Keshava Archanam Papachakra Samuhasya Tatastena Davanala. Those who worship Lord Keshava on Unmilini Mahadvarasi burn all their sinful reactions to ashes. Yasmin Masse Mahifala Tirta Unmilini Bhavet Tanmasa Namna Govinda or Govind Pujaniya Yataviti. You should chant the name of the month in which Unmilini Ekadasi Mahadvarasi occurs while worshipping Lord Govind, following all the prescribed rules and regulations. So we will, when we offer the ghee and other things, we'll chant the name of this Vaishak. Vishaka? Is it Vaishak? Vaishak Ma Shukla Paksha Mahadvarasi. Radhakun Me Govardhan Tirtha. Vaishak Mas Me. Vaishak Mas Me Shukla Paksha Me Achyuta Gotra. Krishna Das, like this. So there's some more things. There's all kinds of elaborate things how to worship. I'm not sure what to elaborate for us to elaborate on. So, a very interesting point I saw here. Tushta yartam padmanabhasya karyam jagaran antata nishante Vrata Krityantu Gurave Tani Devayet. This probably applies to all the things that we do in devotion. But I saw it here for the first time in a very clear way. It is the duty of a devotee to remain awake on the night of a vow to please Lord Padmanabh. When the vow is completed, one should surrender everything at the lotus feet of his spiritual master. That's what I thought was pretty interesting. Nishante, at the end of night. Nishante, at the end of night. Vrata Krityantu, Krityantu, Vrata, whatever you've done. Gurave Tan Nivedam, Atma Nivedanam? Surrender. So Nivedam means surrender. Everything should be surrendered. Tan means to that, to him, to Gurave. Then it says, Guru Nivedite Bhupa Paripurna Bhavet Vratam Kritva Dina Kritam Karma Bhojanam Brahmanesaha Kartavyam Nripa Shardula Dinam Neyam Katanake. Only after one offers the vow to his spiritual master does the vow become complete. And this is interesting. Certainly, it's discussing this particular vow on Milani Mahadvadasi, but we can understand, because in other points they often say that we should always remember the guru before. That's why we say Om Ganata Randasya, you know, before class or before anything or before japa. But sometimes we may forget afterwards. But here it's very clear. Only after one offers a vow to his spiritual master does the vow become complete. Because we say in the order of the spiritual master is the ability to carry it out. Prabhupada explained that. He gives an order. Oh, it's so difficult. He gave me this guru agya. This very difficult service my Gurudev gives me. It's difficult if you don't surrender. If you surrender, if any disciple surrenders to guru, then everything's possible, because behind guru is all the demigods. Behind guru is Krishna. Acharya mavijaniya navamanyate karichit. Sarva deva maya guru. Sarva deva maya guru. All the devas are with the guru. So all the power of the demigods and all the power of Krishna. Acharya mavijaniya. He says the guru is me. So if we surrender to guru, if it's actually a bona fide guru, that's the hard part, but we find a bona fide guru, then it's transparent, and he's actually represented all the demigods. So Indra, Chandra, Surya. So anything you want to do in this world, you have to do with the cooperation of the demigods. You need light, sunlight, you need air, you need water, you need earth. Anything you're doing is a manipulation or moving through these elements. Any action you do, you're either moving or creating, moving the elements or moving through the elements. And the elements are controlled by devas, and the devas are controlled by guru. And the guru is controlled by Krishna. He's a puppet in Krishna's hands. So therefore, that's why Guru Kripa He Kevalam. Guru Kripa is everything. So if you remember Guru, or remember, let's say, Srila Prabhupada, no one can argue the bona fides of Prabhupada. He's certainly bona fide and qualified, and truly represents the meaning of such a verse in 11th canto, Uddhava Gita. Then all success is yours. But generally we don't remember them, and we don't act in a transparent way. Rather, we give up before we try. Quit before you start. Because of the Kali Yuga, people are generally negative integers. Mm-hmm. People are negative about everything, about their own bodies, their own minds, their own abilities, their own... They have no confidence. It's the age of Kali. Debilitates people that way. Because the age is full of hopelessness, so people become hopeless. They become hopeless about themselves. And so it's very difficult to accomplish anything without mustering a lot of passion. In the material world, you have to muster a lot of passion to do anything. But in the spiritual circles, you have to muster a lot of surrender. You have to develop a lot of surrender to actually accomplish something. And you see, when devotee actually surrenders and really prays to Guru, what phenomenal things he does. It's amazing. When Prabhupada said, this is my claim to fame. What is my claim to fame? I had complete faith in the words of my spiritual master and in the holy name of Krishna. And most of us have neither one. We don't have faith in the words of the spiritual master, and we don't have faith in the holy name. We have faith in astrology. And we have faith in the tarot cards, and I Ching, and whatever else is around, and so many things. Russian tea leaves or something. We have faith in a rice lady. Go to Rishikesh and meet the rice lady. So that was an interesting point about the guru. Then he says, Anena vidina yastu kuryat unmilane. Vratam Kapakoti Sahasrani Vasate Vishnu Sanido. One who follows this procedure while observing the vow of Unmilini Mahadvadasi will reside with Lord Vishnu in his supreme abode for thousands and millions of kalpas. Well, that's at least we want to stay that long. One who observes the vow of Unmilini Ikat Mahadvadasi will become rich. Oh, this sounds good. Enjoy a long duration of life, receive good children, become very learned, I will not have to traverse the path to hell. Well, that sounds also very good. On Milini Mahadvarasi ki jai. So we would like to read something from this holy book of Chaitanya Bhagavat. I haven't read for some time now, so I'm feeling it's time now. Gora Chandra Jaya Dharma Setu Mahadir Jaya Sankirtana Maya Sundara Sharir. All glories to the most sober Gora Chandra, who is the bridge to religion, Dharma Setu. All glory, he's Mahadir. All glories to he whose most attractive body is a personification of Sankirtan. Sankirtana Maya Sundara Sharir. Sundara Sharir. He has a beautiful body because of his beautiful qualities and his beautiful bhav, mahabhav. That's text 4 from chapter 1 of Madhya Kanda. What does it mean, Mahadir? Krishna Kirtana Gana Nartana Puro Prema Mritambo Nidhi Dira Dira Jana Priyo Priyakaro Niramatsaro. So we say Dira Dira Jana Priyo Priyakaro. So Dira, we say Dira Dira Dira. Six Goswamis, they were very sober and they were popular. The gentle people, Dira means gentle people like them, and the non-gentle, the ruffians, the dacoits like them, the gundas like them, jagais and madais like them. What does Mahadira mean? It means Gaura Sundar did not follow the path of argument. He established the path of the Vedas. He did not preach or display the restlessness of mental speculation based on sense gratification like an ordinary karmi. He did not instruct anyone to achieve temporary, mundane, perishable happiness. To conquer the urges of the tongue, belly, genitals is called dhriti, or self-control, or acceptance of three danda sannyas. Jai Nityanandera Bandava Dhanapran Jai Gadadhar Advaitera Premadam. All glories to the friend, wealth, and life of Nityananda. All glories to the abode of Gadadhar and Dvaita's love. Premadam, the Dhamma of Advaita's love. So he's glorifying the topics of Madhya Lila. Gayakari Ailena Sri Gaura Sundar Paripurna Dhwani Hoila Nadia Nagar. As soon as Gaura Sundar returned from Gaya, the entire city of Nadia was filled with the news. Paripurna Dhwani. The Dhwani means there were sounds. The whole news is a nice translation. This is Paripurna Dhwani. Dhwani means, like we say, Ulu Dhwani. When these ladies in Bengal, when they say Ulu Dhwani, they say, ooh! Yeah, she's got it. Like that, whatever it is. You can do it? Do. We won't look at you. Don't look. Jai Jai Shri Radhe. So this was going on in Mahaprabhu's time, and it was considered to be like ecstatic, because what happens, Mahaprabhu is always in Mahaprabhu in Mayapur and Navadvip Leela. This is going on in Mayapur and Navadvip Leela. It's not going on in Sannyas Leela. Sannyas Leela is only crying. It's vilap. Vilap means lamentation, and viraha, separation. So in separation there's no elation, there's no Ulu Dhwani. Ulu Dhwani is an expression of ecstasy, of happiness. And it's udipan, or stimulant for Mahaprabhu to deepen his absorption in Braj Bhav. So in Mayapur Leela, he's in Braj Bhav. He's in Braj Bhav, he's Krishna, and he has long hair. And then they ask Prabhupada, can we worship Lord Chaitanya with shaved head in our temples? We have all Gornitai. And Prabhupada said, no, we don't worship Lord Chaitanya in Sannyasa Leela. We worship Lord Chaitanya in Mayapur, Navadvipa. We don't worship. Have you ever seen any bald-headed deities? No. They all have wigs because it's Navadvip Leela. This is Nitya Leela. Nitya Leela is Nitya Navadvip. He's always on one side is Vishnu Priya, the other side is Lakshmi Lakshmipriya, his two wives or his eternal consorts. Like Krishna's Chandravali and Radharani, these are main two sakis. So Gauranga or Vishambar, he has these two. So when he is in the kirtan, Surup Damodara Goswami and Shiva Sangam, Niti Lila, he's leading kirtan in the day or in the night. And then Mahaprabhu is absorbing himself in Braj Bhava. What are Radha and Krishna doing in Braj right now? And everyone's in this Bhava Braj. And then the ladies, Malini and Sachi or any Vishnupriya, Lakshmipriya, the ladies, they're listening to the kirtan, they're watching their husbands dance and the kirtan mandap in Shiva Sangam. And as the kirtan, as the Braj Bhava is deepening, and then they understand the mood of Mahaprabhu is deepening in his Braj Bhava, then they make the sound. Because it's contribution to the kirtan. Just like in an orchestra, there's some instruments are playing, this instrument is playing, all of a sudden the conductor might point like that and there's someone waiting. He's been waiting for 1 hour to play the timpani drum. Timpani drum we say is kettle drum, it's called dundubi. In our scriptures they say dundubi. Dundubi means this kettle drum, it's a huge drum. Made of brass or wood, boom, 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 boom. It sounds like thundering clouds. It sounds like clouds thundering in the sky. So this is only played for a few moments in a 2 hour performance. Violins and so many instruments are playing throughout. Then boom, it's an accent. So this Uludwani is like that. So it's an accent to heighten and embellish the ecstasy of Braj Bhava in Mahaprabhu's Navadvip Leela. So it's very much anukul. People in North India, when they see Bengalis or hear Bengali ladies do that, oh, what's that? Yeah. Oh, that's weird. That's strange. These ladies are weird. But actually they're weird because they don't know how to please the Lord. They only know how to go disco and Punjabi dance, which has nothing to do with the spiritual world at all. And this thing is everything. This Uludwani is coming right from the spiritual world. Vishnu Priya, Lakshmi Priya. Lakshmi Priya? Lakshmi Priya, Vishnu Priya. They're chanting, singing like this. So here, Vrindavan Das Thakur, he's saying that after the Lord went to Gaya and got initiated by Ishwar Puri, then he came back, he's saying, Gaya Kari Ailena, Ailena means that he came, Sri Gaura Sundar, Paripurna Dhwani Haila, Nadia Nagari. Nagara, like we say Nandagram, or Nagar means village, Nadia. Jai Sachinandana Gaura Hari, Vishnu Priya Prananatha Nadia Bihari is one mantra they chant. And Navadvip, the Dameshwar Mahaprabhu temple, this is Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu temple. This is the deity that was worshipped for 80 years by Vishnu Priya. Because when she was 16, her husband took sannyas. Yeah, after 4 years of marriage, she got married when she, no, 8 years of marriage, maybe. I think she was eight. She was 8 years old when she got married. They were married for about 8 years or so. 8 years or 4 years, something. So she was 8 years old when she got married. She was a little girl, still a little girl. She was 16 and he was 24. Mahaprabhu, he said, bye, later. And she crumpled into a massive destruction, this melted mass of lamentation. But then the house servant Ishan arranged to have a deity. Ishan or others, I can't remember just now. But this deity was made of Mahaprabhu with his hands out like this, like, you know, if someone loves you and they put their hands out like this, it can mean, you can figure out what it means. It means give your heart to me, or it says I'm yours. It can mean so many things. It means I'm here, take me. If I put my hands like that out like that to you, that means you can grab my hands and pull me. But if I'm going like this, you can't catch me. If I put my hands out, you can't, there's nothing to hold on to. But if I extend myself to you, and if you want me, you can just grab my hands. If you have enough power, you can pull me. Just like sometimes if a lady goes like that, her husband can pay. So this can mean take me. So this deity of Mahaprabhu, Dameshwar Mahaprabhu, has his hands, both hands extended with his palms up. Which is auspicious. When palms are down, it's not auspicious. If palms are up, it's auspicious. Because you can see the fortune lines, everything you can see. So he's going like this. So it means take me, and also means give me, you know, take me and give me, and you and give yourself. So she worshipped this deity Mahaprabhu, and this is the mantra they sing there. Jaya Sachinandana Gaur Hari Vishnu Priya Prananatha Nadia Vihari. That mantra is written there. You can see when you visit the temple in Navadvipa, which is in the island of Koladweep, the main city of Navadvipa. So everyone was saying Paripurna Dwani, they were doing Uludwani. All of Nadi, all the ladies, they weren't just, it says here, it's a very interesting translation. Nadi, the entire city of Nadi was filled with the news. Paripurna, complete, the entire, and Dwani is translated as news. The samachar, the daily news, Amar Jivana or whatever, Amrit Pachika Bazaar or whatever it is. So this means everyone went crazy. They were all saying, "Oh, Gauranga's come back." And Dailena Jata Sava Aptavarga Ache Keha Age Keha Maje Keha Atipache. All the Lord's friends and relatives came running to see him. So see, this verse follows the other one. This is verse 11. So verse 10 is, oh, everywhere got the news. Mahabhu came back. Did you hear the news? Mahabhu came back. So then the next verse, everyone's running. It doesn't make sense. It means the other verse. First verse, everyone's screaming. Ah! Ah! Ooh! Then after they recover from screaming, then they start running towards the object of your attraction. This is Pache, Pache. Like we say, what's that verse we say? Gurudev, I'm running behind you saying, Kripa Bindu Dio, Kripa Bindu Dio. You know that Pache, Pache? There's that bhajan on the last line. Pache, Pache, Gurudev. Gurudev, Kripa, Pache, Pache. That's the last two lines. I'm running behind you saying, please give me a drop of mercy. Some came in front, saying, some came in the middle, some came from far behind. Jata Jogya Koila Prabhu Sabare Sabhash Vishambari Deki Sabe Hailai Ulas. The Lord spoke befittingly to everyone and they all became jubilant on seeing Vishambara. We wrote that little song. Jaya Vishambara Jaya Nimai Sachi Nandana Gora Hari Prabhu Jaya Shi Goranga. There's a little thing I wrote. Jaya Vishambara Jaya Nimai Sachi Nandana Gora Hari Prabhu Jaya Shi Goranga. I want to write more. It's just Nam Sankirtan. Agovari sabai anilena nijagari tirthakata sabare kahena Vishambari. They all greeted the Lord and accompanied him home, where Vishambara narrated the topics of his pilgrimage. This is natural. Oh, you went to India. Tell us about it. You go back to Moscow or America or wherever. Or you go back to Assam or wherever. Oh, I went to Vrindavan. Oh, what's about? Oh, we went here. I went on Vrindavan, on Yatra in Vrindavan. Oh, where did you go? What did you say? What did you hear? It was so good. Prabhu Bali, Toma Sabakare Ashivad, Gaya Bhumi Dekhiya Ainu Nirvirodhi. By the blessings of you all, I have visited the abode of Gaya without any difficulty. Paramasunamrahai Prabhu Katakai, Sabai Tushta Haile Dekhi Prabhura Vinai. The Lord spoke with great humility and everyone became fully satisfied. See the change. Prabhur Vinay. Vinay means humility. Right? Vinay. Vinaya. Vinay. Deki Prabhur Vinay. Sabbe Tushta Hoila. Tushta means satisfied. Sub everybody. Everyone became satisfied to see humility. What happened to the arrogant scholar, the proud Nimai? Nimai Pundit. See, they're not calling him Nimai, they're calling him Vishambara. Now he's maintaining everybody. Because everybody can be maintained by humility. Pride, you can't maintain anybody but yourself. If you become proud, you can maintain yourself at the expense of everyone else. Of course, you lose, ultimately you lose, and you lose everyone else. Even you lose Krishna, like Radharani became a touch of pride and she lost Krishna. But here, you can maintain, Vishambara means nourisher and maintainer of everyone. So if you become humble, you can maintain everyone and nourish everyone. Because humility is a shadow of Prem. Prem casts a shadow. The bigger the praying, the longer the shadow. So the deeper the praying, the greater the humility. They go there, their purport, they're related. Let's see. Sabe tushta haile deki prabhu ravinai. Deki vinai. To see Prabhu's Prabhu means Vishambhara, to see his humility satisfied everyone. This is one of the 26 qualities of devotees, Dainya, Dainya Bhav, Dainya, humility. And it says here, it satisfies everyone, Nadia Nagara. The whole of Nadia became satisfied to see his humility. And that means before, when they saw his pride, he was such a proud and arrogant scholar, that means they weren't so satisfied. That's a big announcement there. Now, Shire Hastadiya Keha, Chira Jivi Kare, Sarvange Hastadiya Keha Mantra Pare. Someone put his hand on Lord's head and said, Chira Jive Kare. Right? Chiranjeev. You know what Chiranjeev is? Means one that lives forever, practically. Chiranjeev. Ashwatthama Muni. Oh, I used to remember them. I can't remember them now. Do you know the Chiranjeevs?
I don't know.
Ashwatthama, Bali, Hanuman, Kripacharya, Parasaram, Vibhishana, Vyasadeva. Seven Chiranjeevs, and also Markandeya Rishi. They live practically forever. And Lomasa Rishi, I think. He lives... when every day of Brahma, one of his hairs falls out, or something like that.
No.
He's very hairy. He's a very hairy rishi, also. So he lives Lomasa Rishi. Loma means hair follicle or something. Shire Hastadiya Keha Chira. So one touched his head and said, "Live a long life." Sarvange Hastadiya Keha Mantrapadi. Someone else touches various limbs while chanting mantras. Mantrapadi. Mantrapad means lines of mantras. Kaya Vakshe Hastadiya Karyashavad Govinda Shitalananda Karuna Prasad. Someone placed his hands on the Lord's chest and blessed him with the words, "May Govinda bestow soothing, blissful mercy on you." Shital, cool bliss. Govinda Shital. Shital means cool. Anand means bliss. Karun Prasad. Soothing, blissful mercy. Now that's a good combination. May Govinda bestow, that's prasad. May you get this mercy. This, what a blessing. That's a nice way. Govinda Shitalanand Karun Prasad. May Govinda bestow upon you cool bliss and the prasad and the mercy of compassion. Haila Anandamayi Sachi Bhagavati Bhagyavati Putradeki Harishe Najani Achikati. The most fortunate mother Sachi was filled with joy and forgot herself while seeing her son Bhagyavati, most fortunate. Lakshmira Janaka Kule Anandavatila Patimukha Dekiya Lakshmira Dukagela. The parents and relatives of Lakshmi became most happy, and Lakshmi's distress was vanquished as she looked at the face of her husband. Pati Mukha Dekhiya Lakshmira Dukha Gela. I have the English book. I never read the Bengali. I read that English one volume, but it's too much nice. All these phrases are too much nice, because English is really not very nice. Pati Mukha Dekhiya Lakshmira Dukha Gela. Sakala Vaishnavagan Harisha Haila Dekite Ose Shane Keha Keha Gela. All the Vaishnavas became pleased. Harish means happy. Some of them immediately went to see the Lord. Dekite Ose Shane means immediately, in a moment. It's a wonderful, it's a Bhagavan Milan, Bhakti Bhagavan Milan meeting of the devotees of the Lord. Sabakari Kari Prabhu Vinaya Sabash Vidaya Dilena Sabe Gila Nijavas. The Lord humbly spoke to everyone. After taking leave, they all returned to their homes. Nijavas. Vishnu Bhakta Guti Dui Chari Janalaya Rahakata Kahibari Vasile Nagya. The Lord then took a few devotees to a solitary place.
guti, a guti, duichari jan, laya, laya. He took two or four. This is the way they speak. We say two or three, there we say two or four, five or seven. Two or four devotees came, five or seven. But in America we say two or three. There's always duichari. Guti, Vishnu Bhakta Guti, Rahakata. He went to a solitary place to discuss solitary topics. So secret things should be told in secret places. Rahakata, Rahasya Kata. What happened? No. Oh, yeah, maybe they're lost. Something about Mahaprabhu from Chaitanya Bhagavat. We're reading about how he's just come back from Gaya and he's showing humility, and everyone's so happy. Sabtushta says, Sabetushta. Everyone was very satisfied to see his humility. And now they're greeting him after he's been gone. And it said he took a few of his disciples, went to a solitary place, and discussed confidential topics. And this is what he just, after meeting everyone in the masses and meeting everyone, then it says, Rahakata. Rahakata means Rahasikata, secret talks, in a secret place. It says, he went to a secret place to have secret talks. That makes sense. Prabhupali Mandusaba, Shuna Kahi Kata, Krishnara Purva Jay, Dekilun, Jata Jata. The Lord said, O friends, please hear about the wonders of Krishna that I have seen. The wonders, the apurva. Apurva means immeasurable, isn't it? Apurva. Apurva, do you know? Apurva. Apurva means immeasurable, I believe. So he says wonders. Gaya, so Gayara Bitar. Bitar means inside, right? Gayara Bitar Matra, Hailana Pravesh, Pratame Sunilan, Mangala Vishesh. As soon as I entered Gaya, I heard the most auspicious sounds. Sahasra Sahasra Vipra Pore Veda Dwani Deka Deka Vishnu Padodak Tirthakani. Thousands and thousands of Brahmins were reciting prayers in the Vedas. They said, come, see the holy spot where Vishnu washed his feet. Padodaka. Udak means water and Pad means Vishnupad. Deka Deka Vishnupad Tirthakani. Purve Krishna Jabe Koila Gaya Agavan Seistani Rahi Prabhu Dulila Charan. When Krishna previously visited Gaya, he washed his feet in that place. So Gaya is naturally, it's a tirtha, tirthakani, it's a holy place, because the feet of the Lord were there. And where he stood there, the one rock that he stood on melted in ecstasy to contact the Lord. Because when the Lord contacts anything, it becomes spiritualized. That's the whole process of Krishna consciousness. When we contact Krishna, we become spiritualized. The analogy Prabhupada uses, iron submerged in fire. It takes on the qualities, it becomes fire-like or fireized. So the material body engaged in Krishna's service takes on spiritual qualities and can do spiritual things, like transform others. Like the iron rod in the fire, you take it out, now it's no longer a cold iron rod, but it's carrying fire. And for some time, as long as the fire is with it, it can burn others. It can pass the fire around or inflame other objects. So as long as we keep Krishna within us, the fire of Krishna within us, then we can burn up other people. We can burn other people with Krishna. We can inflame others, or give the flame, light the flame of love for Krishna in people's hearts. This means bhakti lata beach. The light of love awakens. The wood is there, but unless the wood is rubbed in a proper way, the flame won't come out. Flame is inherent in wood. Fire is inside of wood. Everyone, I think, knows that idea. But there's a process. It's called friction. When the proper friction is there, the dormant flame comes out. So the potential to love God is within the heart in a bija form. But that mantra, when Guru gives mantra, the mantra is the friction. And the friction rubs the seed. Sometimes they say, Guru Krishna Prasadi Bhai Bhakti Lata Bija. Guru gives the seed of bhakti, but actually gives the friction to awaken the flame of bhakti that's already in the heart. Because every jiva has a flame of bhakti. So sometimes that's confusion. In other words, we have no bhakti. Well, no, we have bhakti. Otherwise, because that's life. Life is such an ananda, that's the nature of the Atma. So it's in a very primordial or atomic state. It's called Chidanu. Chidanu means atomic consciousness, atomic life force, you could say. A non-anti-material particle, as our Surya Dhamma used to say. Anti-material particle, the Atma. This apara prakriti, this transcendental substance. So the guru, when he gives mantra, he gives knowledge and mantra, and the combination of knowledge and mantra, they enter the ear holes, and they enter the heart, and then they contact the seed, and they rub the seed, and then they create a flame comes out, and that's the flame of devotion. Then you begin to serve Krishna. You begin to fire. You begin to become spiritualized. Your existence becomes spiritualized. We say Krishna consciousness. It awakens. So Krishna stood on that rock, and by the contact of Krishna's transcendental energy, that rock got spiritualized and melted. And then it captured his footprints. And you can see, have you ever been to Gaya? Did you ever go?
No.
I never went there. But it's also called Padodaka Tirth. Janra Padodaka Lagi Gangara Mahatva Shiredari Shivajani Padodaka Tatva Se Charana Udaka Prabhave Se Stan Jagate Haila Padodak Tirthanam. The Ganga became glorious due to being touched by the lotus feet of the Lord. Shiva realized the glories of that water by holding on his head. By the influence of the water that has washed the Lord's feet, this place became famous by the name Padodak Tirth. There's purports. Siddhanta Saraswati is giving purports to these verses.
This is Chaitanya
Bhagavat. This is Chaitanya Bhagavat. I've never read the Bengali version. I've read the English version a few times. But now I've decided to start reading from now on through Purushottama. We'll have class in the evening time. We'll have evening class. And this in the morning we'll have class in the seminar on Art of Chanting, going through the book and adding other things also. And then 1 hour about the glories of Radharani from Radharas Sudaniti, just to speak something sweet in a place like Radhakund, in a month like Purushottam. Because Purushottam is Krishna, it's Krishna's month. And Krishna likes to hear about Radharani, that makes him happy. So we want to talk about Radharani in Purushottam month. In Kartik month, we like to talk about Krishna, because that makes Radharani happy. And Radharani's month is Kartik, she's Kartiki Devi. So therefore we sing Damodarastakam. There's also Radhika Astakam. There's two or three of them. And we sing those for our own purification in Kartik month, or every day, or whatever. And we sing Radha Kripa Kataksha. But that doesn't please Radharani. That pleases Krishna. Krishna's pleased, Radharani's pleased by Nanda Nanda Nastakam. So generally, the Gaudiya Acharyas, they say, if you want to chant these, you have to chant both. And then you have to chant Nanda Nanda Nastakam, which is by Rupa Goswami. And everything by Rupa Goswami is golden. It's special. It's preferred. It's the choice. Whatever they call it, the vote of choice or the object of choice, or whatever. Because Rupa Goswami, we're Rupanugas or aspiring Rupanugas, so we want to be everything of Rupa Goswami and everything of Rupa Manjari. The pranadan, our life, our energy, our bhajan, our meditation, our sleeping, our snoring, our everything should be connected with Rupa Goswami and Rupa Manjari. Para Padma Tirthera Laite Prabhunam Ajareja Jarayedui Kamala Nayan. As soon as the Lord repeated the name of Pada Padma Tirth, tears began to incessantly flow from his eyes. This isn't even Premnam Sankirtan. This isn't Mukhyanam. This is Gonanam. Mukhyanam means Nam is directly connected with Krishna's Brajalila. Govinda Damo Dharamadaveti. Govinda Damo Dharamadaveti. Govinda Damo Dharamadaveti. Govinda Damo Dharamadaveti. Names like these are full of Brajalila. But when you say Jagannath, Jagadish, or these names in general, They're about Srishti Karta, Adi Karta. They're about the material energy, Krishna's Leela, his Srishti Leela. It's also Leela, but Leela in the material world, in the Maya, Maya Jagat, in this realm. So these are called Gonanam. These create punya, they create purity of mind, but they don't instill praying, Braja praying. But here, the Lord is saying, Pada Padma Tirth. As soon as the Lord repeated the name Pada Padma Tirth, or Padodaka, then it started crying. The name became Udipan. Hearing the name became an excitant or a stimulant to stimulate the staiva, the deep love in his heart that had awoken after his initiation by Ishwara Puri. When he received the 10-syllable Gopal mantra, Klim Gopi Jana Vallabhaya Swaha. This is the 10-syllable mantra. This mantra is only gopis. This mantra is only Madhurya Bhav. Whereas the other Gopal mantra, because of Krishna and Govinda are there, they can be taken as inspiration for Vatsalya Bhav or Sakya Bhav. But when you only have this Gopi Jana Vallabhaya, then it's only Gopi Bhav. And this is what Krishna came to experience. So his Guru knows what the disciple is supposed to receive. So he gave the appropriate mantra at the time of Diksha. The most popular mantra is the 18-syllable mantra, which we receive in our Sampradaya, Chaitanya Saraswat Sampradaya. We receive the 18-syllable Gopal mantra. But that's the wrong ear. The right? No, that's the right ear. Which ear? No, it's the right ear. Yeah, that was the right ear. Yeah. The left ear is when you get Gopi Bhav mantra. It's very interesting. You get in left ear. So, he got this mantra, Ishwara Puri, because he knew that Krishna, he wanted to meditate on Ishwari. Ishwari Radha, Pranishwari. Because Krishna wanted to know what is Radharani's love. To taste her love, her Radha Pranaya, the Mahima, the glories of Radharani's love, and the happiness she feels by serving Krishna. So then he got this mantra all about Gopi Bhav. So he's remembering Gaya. Oh yes, Gaya, and that place of Vishnu and his lotus feet, and they were washed over there, and by the Ganges, and that's where I met my guru Ishwara Puri, and that's where I got the Gopi Bhav mantra, and that's where Krishna arose in my heart. So then he starts crying, remembering all that. Because it says in Mantrasara, there's one scripture that says that if someone receives Diksha, this is also quoted by Rupa Goswami in Mathura Matmya, if someone receives Diksha in Mathura, they will attain Siddhi in their mantra. They will attain perfection. Sheshe Prabhu Hailena Bada Asambar Krishna Bali Kandite Lagila Bahutar. Eventually the Lord lost it. In some versions. Lost all composure. Another it says bada asambar. Means he was bada rolled our bada asambar. He was really, really asambara. And then kandite, bali kandite. Bali kandite means strong tears. He bawled his eyes out. Bahutara. As he called out the name of Krishna, Krishna bali. Bali means he called out. Krishna bali kandite. So first, he just remembered. He remembered this padodaka tirtha. And they just, when someone said the name of that, he remembered that and tears started flowing from his eyes. That was the beginning. These are different symptoms. Ashru, Romancha, Kampa, the throat choking up, crying profusely. So he's remembering the place where he got the mantra. Then he's thinking, oh yes, in that place, and then all these things happened. I got the mantra. What was that mantra? That was the mantra to give me Krishna. The next thing is, then he cries, oh, Krishna! So this is the first meeting of everyone when he returned from Gaya. The very first meeting. He didn't show all these ecstasies in public. That's why it's very important that he greeted everybody, the relatives, Sakshimat, everybody. Then he says, Vishnu Bhakta Guti Duichari Janalaya. Duichari means two or four. He took two or four of Vishnu Bhaktas, Rahakata, and he went to a secret place and told the secrets. Rahasya Kata. Told in show and tell, like they have in grammar school, show and tell. His showing told more than his telling. Got that? His showing told more than his telling. And if you know English, you can figure that out. What he showed with his emotions, his tears and his ecstasies, that was telling more than what he was speaking. Because that was telling or convincing or explaining or revealing the deep ecstasies of viraha bhava that were swelling in his heart after this initiation, directly after initiation. Such is the power of sadshishya and sadguru. When sadshishya, when a qualified shishya meets a sadguru and receives the mantra, then such transformation happens. Because Lord Chaitanya is teaching, he's Krishna, he's God. He's Mahabhava, Rasaraj Mahabhava, but he's also, so much he's teaching, because he's coming as a guru also. Every avatar comes as a teacher, an instructor. Krishna's teaching. He had two students, Uddhava and Arjuna. And he spoke Uddhava Gita and Bhagavad Gita. So, and so many other teachings he gave also. So, Mahaprabhu, he's the Maha-teacher, Maha-guru, he's teaching so many things. So here he's teaching what happens in Diksha. Well, we got initiated 39,000 years ago. I'm chanting mantras, so many mantras, but where are the tears? Where is the profuse ecstasy? Then we have to say, well, did I get initiated by a Sadguru? Or am I a Satsishya? Well, no. and then we have to work on different aspects of the calculation to make it compatible. Barila Pushperavan Mahaprema Jale Mahashwasha Chori Prabhu Krishna Krishna Vale. The flower garden Barila Pushperavan Mahaprema Jale was inundated with tears of love. So basically how English falls on its face, right? I mean, any language is better than English, French, Spanish, German, whatever. But what to speak of Bengali or Sanskrit? Bengali basically is practically 100% Sanskrit. But compare this, Mahaprem Jale, to tears of love. Mahaprem Jale. Mahashwasa, Mahashwa, Mahashwasa Chori Prabhu, Krishna Krishna Bali. The Lord sighed deeply while chanting the name of Krishna. Mahashwasa Chori. Mahashwasa. That means sighing deeply. Shwasa. Anyway, Lord Gauranga is in ecstasy. He's sighing deeply. Krishna. Ah, Krishna. This is sighing deeply. Pulake purnita hoila sarva kalevara. Stira nahi prabhu kampa bhari taratara. The Lord's entire body was decorated with hair standing on end. He was unable to remain still as his body began to intensely shiver. So this is the first day he came back from Gaya. And he's now in the new Bhakta program. Just got initiated. Krishna Das, Krishna Chaitanya. Just got his spiritual name. Came home to tell his mom about it. Mom, I got initiated. My name is Krishna Chaitanya. And then he took a few friends to the side and said, listen, this is what happened. And wait a minute, what happened to the arrogant scholar, the proud Nimai? Shriman Pandit Adi Jata Bhaktagan Dekena Apurva Krishna Premara Krandan. Shriman Pandit and the other devotees all watched as the Lord cried due to intense love for Krishna. Chatur, so this is his Radha Bhav is beginning to manifest. Chatur Dike Nayan Bahe Premara Dhar Ganga Jain Asya Karile Avatar. Tears of love flowed from the Lord's eyes in all directions as if the Ganga had appeared there. Ganga Avatar. Mane Mane Sabe Chintena Chamatkar E Mati Hane Kabu Nahi Dekiar. Everyone was struck with wonder and thought, Chintena, Chintena Chamatkar. We have never before seen him like this. Yeah, they're all his kids. They're all his kids. Hey, you stupid! You, what is this meaning of the Sanskrit word? You don't know. I know. I can explain in this way. Can you defeat that? No. Well, I can defeat what I just said. Now he's shivering. It's like they're frightened in one sense. So what happened to our school buddy? Just like if we go see our old school friends, they'll become frightened. You go there, you show up with a shaved head and bird dew on your forehead, and they'll say, "What? They'll say, what happened to you? Where's your hair? You became a Hare Krishna, hairless Krishna." So now they're trying to understand what happened. Sri Krishna anugrahaila ihane ki vaibhava pate va hoila darashane. He must have received Sri Krishna anugraha, the mercy of Krishna, or perhaps he has seen something wonderful on the way. Pat, vaibhav pat. On the road, he saw something amazing. He saw head on a collision with a Maruti and a truck, and he was just shivering from amazement. Bahi dristi prabhura hoila katashane sheshe prabhu sambasha karila shaba sane. After a short while, bahya dristi, the Lord regained his external consciousness. Bahya dristi literally means external vision, because he was seeing internally. He was seeing Krishna internally. Radha was seeing Krishna and the Gopi Janavallabha, the beloved of the Gopis. That Gopi Janavallabha, that beloved of the Gopis, that Gopi Janavallabha, and of all the Gopi Janas, the beloved of Radha, Radha Vallabha. She was seeing he. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was seeing Krishna and Radha Bhav. That's antardrishti, internal vision. Because mantra is meant to create internal vision. We have external vision. That comes from mother and father. From this akh. This eye gives us external vision. But that's useless. It has no value, ultimately. It's anarth. It creates more anarthas. It has no value. Anarth means no value. It's useless. Bahya drishti. Outward glance. Every yogi, every teacher, every philosophy, they give no value to outward glance. They say, glance inside. Turn your vision inside. It's called introspection. Look within, and you'll find the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God lies within you. This is in the Bible. So that means even the rishis of the Bible, or whatever they are, rabbis, let's say, rabbis of the rabbis and rishis of the Bible, and the Babel of the Bible, or the Babel in the Bible, Tower of Babel, they will tell you that you should look within, antardrishti. So this is what's happening when one receives mantra. When he receives mantra diksha, then he's meant to he cultivates antardrishti. And in antardrishti, he sees the ishtadeva, the mantra ishtata, the mantra ishtadeva. And in our case, our mantra ishtadeva is Gopi Janavallabha, the flute player, Vamshi Varana, Murli Varana, Murli Manohar. So when we chant our mantra, then we will not only see our ishtadeva, but we'll hear him. He'll be playing his flute. Because this is what happened to Brahma. Brahma is the original Adi Shishya, and Krishna is the Adi Guru. And the mantra he gave him is the 18th syllable Gopa mantra, which we got. And he chanted that mantra, then he heard the flute of Krishna, flute sound of Krishna. So this all goes on in inner vision. But now, Bahya drishti. So all this, he had all this inner vision, and when he was seeing the Lord of his heart, inside his heart, he was seeing that the lotus feet of the Lord in Gaya, and the lotus feet of the Lord in Gaya took him to the lotus feet of the Lord of Braj, Rajendra Nandan. And when he remembered the Lord of Braj, in the mood of Radharani, remembering Krishna, then he became overwhelmed in ecstasy and exhibited septic bhavs, romancha kampa ashru, his hair standing in end, and his skin trembling, body trembling, and tears rushing from his eyes. Septic vikara, transformations of ecstasy due to sattvagun or sudra sattvagun, pure goodness, which means contacting the Surup Shakti of the Lord, and exhibited these wonderful symptoms. And everyone's seeing this and thinking, oh, he must have saw a car accident. He must have saw a car accident on the road. That's what some people said. Those that didn't have much adhikar, or didn't have much perception. Oh, why is he crying? I think he lost his dog. No, he's crying because his wife just ran away from him. But he thinks it's because he lost his dog. But someone was more astute. He said, Sri Krishna Anugraha. Because when anyone gets the mercy of Krishna, they cry. It's like when you become healthy, you laugh. If you're sick and you become healthy, then you laugh. It's a release. And the pressure cooker, when it gets too much steam, it goes psh. So when we finally get the mercy of Krishna, we actually cry. Because fire produces water. And samsara davanala lila loka. The samsara, we're burning in the fire of samsara. So when we finally receive the mercy of Krishna and we perceive it, pratyaksha bhagavam dharmya susukam kartamavya, pratyaksha dharma, when the dharma becomes pratyaksha, when we actually experience Krishna's mercy, and this is the praying dharma of Krishna, then that fire is extinguished by the tears of appreciation, the tears of gratitude. And that's what happens when we get the mercy, we cry. We actually cry. And that, those tears put out the forest fire. There's no more samsara. Davanala means forest fire. Davanala. Lita means afflictions. All the miseries that go inside that fire. Forest is on fire. But if you look inside the fire, you see so much misery going on. Houses being, bird nests being burned up, snakes being burned alive. There's a lot of misery going on inside the forest fire. So Davanala is a forest fire. Samsara Davan. Davanala. But then it says, Samsara Dhavana Lita Loka. Lita Loka means, Lita means afflictions, sufferings, miseries. So we're burning in a samsara, but we also have lots of miseries. Samsara is birth and death, but in between birth and death there's a lot of suffering, a lot of anxiety, alienation, loneliness, insufficiency, lack of fulfillment, insecurity, fear. All this is going on inside the fire. So when we get, when Krishna's mercy descends on our head, then we actually cry. So someone was saying, well, he's crying because he got the mercy of Krishna. Sri Krishna Anugraha. Sri Krishna Anugraha Hoi Lahani. Because everyone struck his wonder, why is he crying? Oh, he got the mercy, man. Like if you see somebody running down the street, kicking their heels, and Aibo, then what do they say? He must have won the lottery. He's so happy. Oh, well, you won the lottery. Yes, I won $1 million. I won the Irish sweepstakes or whatever. When I was a kid, I remember my father always entering the Irish sweepstakes or whatever. I don't know what, some kind of lottery or something. Forerunner of the lottery or something. Irish sweepstakes. I don't even know what it is. Some kind of gambling thing. You gamble and try to win some money or something. So now, Bhaya Drishti Prabhura Hoila Katashani. Now he came to external consciousness and began to speak to everyone. Because before he was in his own inner bhav, he was in his antar drishti, his own bhav. He's crying. Radha was with Krishna. The curtains were closed. Okay, curtains closed. Behind the scenes. Everyone's stuck in the audience. Hey, what happened? They closed the curtains. Lights went out. What's going on? What's the drama? Then, oh, hi everybody. What's going on? So he closed the curtains and went internal. That's a hospice term, right? He went internal. So Mahaprabhu went internal, really internal, to the spiritual world, to the lotus feet of Krishna. Gauranga. Prabhu kahe, bandhu sabha aji gare jaha, kali jata bali tata asi bhari jaha. The Lord said, oh bandhu, oh friends, please return home today. I will tell you where I will tell you where you may come and meet me tomorrow.
Oh, man.
Hey, everybody, two or four of you guys, you come to a secret place, and I'll tell you something. Then he says, oh, I went to... Then he just goes, cries and shivers and trembles, Krishna, Krishna, oh, Krishna, Krishna.